Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, my name is Bruce Norris. Thank you for joining us. Today, our guests are Randy Grigg and Mike Grigg with Elite Auctions. Randy was in agriculture for 30 years in the pest management field, and he started gradually buying rentals and keeping them and eventually got into the auction business. And Mike, his son, joined that part of the business and is now the chief auctioneer. Randy's a president of the company, and Mike has just recently been elected president of the Auction Association. So welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Bruce.
Randy, how did you first get involved in real estate?
Well, back in 1977, I had heard a couple seminars I had attended that the real estate was the way to go, and leverage was the key with real estate. So I eased into it and bought my first rental house in 1977. It's two bedroom, one bath. I bought it for $29,500 or something like that, and then I bought two to three houses every year for about 30 years, or about 20 years, actually, and then I stopped.
So the prices in 97 are about the same as they are now?
They're very close. That's what's crazy. And you know, I rented that property, for, just for information, for $300 a month. That same house rents for about $750 a month.
And I was kidding on the price, but the price certainly has changed dramatically, went up dramatically, and then back down.
Yeah, we're close to that price here in Bakersfield now, maybe $40,000, but
unbelievable. But yet, your plan was always to pay them off and to enjoy the cash flow.
Yes, that was the strategy.
Yeah, and I mean, that's still working. You're still being able to collect rental checks. So that's made sanity of the last few years, where a lot of investors didn't have the luxury of that.
Exactly, yeah. No, we can survive fairly well still in this tough time.
On your few dozen free and clear houses. Huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now that's quite an accomplishment. When did auctions enter the picture?
Oh, auctions entered when I decided I wanted to get back into real estate. I sort of stopped for a while and I said, you know, I'm going to just sort of quit my ag business and quit buying more rental properties. And I heard people like you and Mike Cantu and a couple other people that were having a lot of fun flipping properties. And I said, you know, it's time to get back in. And so I got involved and found out that I didn't like the selling process. The buying process was okay, but the selling I didn't like. I had, you know, three escrows that fell out, and I drove by this house that was in our neighborhood, actually, and they were doing an auction. I said, I'm going to steal this thing. So I ended up going to the preview, which is the weekend before the auction, and got the information. Then I ended up attending the auction. It took $10,000 to be a bidder. And I had my number, and I said, I'm going to be the only one that shows up. And sure enough, when I got there, there was just people. You couldn't find a parking place. And I said, well, this is sort of strange. And then I got there, and I found out that my bid was surpassed, like, after the second bid at the auction. And I kept watching and watching. It went up to full market value and maybe a little bit more. And I said, you know, this is a pretty good way to maybe sell.
What was the year?
This would have been about 7 years ago.
So 2002.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mike, from about 2004 to 2006, or let me first ask, when did you first get involved in the auction business with your dad?
It was probably about 2002, actually.
Okay. From 2002 to 2006, who was the typical selling client that you guys dealt with?
We dealt with a lot of homeowners because the market was just going crazy. That wanted an auction to go crazy so they could get a crazy price.
Well, honestly, was that I would not have thought that would have been on the plate, so to speak, because it was pretty easy to sell a house. So an auction, there's usually, it's an unfair stigma, but it's there nonetheless. For a homeowner to auction a house, you usually go, okay, there must be something wrong or too motivated or something.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
But it's very interesting. In 04 to 06, I am quite sure that most of the people were very astonished at the selling price.
They were. And basically, when we got into the business, we got into help investors sell, you know, 4, 5, 6 houses in a day.
Right.
And we started doing that, and then the homeowners started catching on to what we were doing, and they said, wow, we should start selling our houses this way, too.
You know, that's interesting. It's almost like being a contractor where you have a job in the neighborhood,
yeah.
and then pretty soon people come over and say, can you do my room addition as well?
Exactly.
So you get a lot of exposure just holding an auction that is successful.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if a lot of times we'll have 100 people show up to one house, and who knows, some of them might have a house to sell themselves.
In between 04 and 06, who was the typical buyer that showed up? Was it usually an owner-occupant?
Definitely an owner-occupant.
Okay. And has that changed in 2009? Who's the typical buyer showing up now?
Typical buyer showing up now would be either a long-term hold type investor.
Okay.
Or we do still get some owner-occupants. The first-time home buyers are starting to get into the market a little bit more because of the really good FHA program and the $8,000 tax credit.
Did you hear the recent change on that?
No.
They can take the $8,000 tax credit in advance in a loan and supply them with the down payment.
Oh, well.
Oh, wow, that's
no,
great.
I didn't hear that.
That's a very big change. So, you know, just it's funny, though. We really were upset at all the lax lending about people getting in with no down, and we just created a new batch.
I know. Isn't that something?
That is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Randy, who is the typical selling client now in 2009 that you deal with?
The typical selling client now is like a rehabber or a wholesaler that understands that price deterioration right now is killing them. If they don't get it sold within 2 months, they basically lost their window of opportunity because they've lost. Bakersfield went down 48.3% this last year.
That's a 4% clip a month.
Yeah. I mean, Two months, basically, your most of your profit, because, you know, we figure 10 to 15, 20% at most, is gone. So I think the rehabbers and the wholesalers are starting to understand that it's a fairly good way to go because of that. If we sell in 1 month, we market for 1 month, hold the auction, and we try to close them within 1 month, too.
You guys have an auction coming up on June 3rd and 4th. Tell us a little bit about the sellers.
Well, the sellers are us, actually. these are properties that we bought at RADC, and I think we bought, I want to say, one at Hudson Marshall and three at RADC. I think that's what it is. We're fixing them up just a little bit, you know, carpet and paint and miscellaneous, but nothing major on the fix-up. And then we are going to hopefully sell those and make a profit.
Well, and when you say hopefully, it's really a model that you're pretty familiar with, so you know that probably will occur.
Oh, we've done probably, I don't know, maybe 25 or so in the last 8 months with this model, and we might not hit a home run on every house, but the overall of the four that we have should be a profitable venture.
And be honest with you, that has to be a little bit embarrassing if I was the other auction company. So you're buying homes at what would be your competitor auction companies and then turning around and selling them for a profit in your own auction company. Has that ever happened in reverse?
Not that we know about, but maybe so.
I don't think so either.
Because we picked them up a little bit, so we have a little bit of an unfair advantage. You know,
well,
RADC and Hudson Marshall, they just sell them as it is. So we fix them just a little bit, not much.
Yeah, but you still have to have a margin after that. So
exactly.
Now,
that's right.
The type of auction that they hold is, you know, it's different in the sense that it's done with a huge amount of inventory in a big ballroom setting. And you guys have taken that a different route. So what would be the typical auction quantity for you in a day? What's the minimum to maximum that is comfortable?
Okay, yeah, whereas already RADC sells them all in 1 day, ballroom style, we sell maybe 3, at the most 4, in 1 day because we do the auction on site at the property. So we like to do it that way, and we'll pick up tent and all our stuff, and we'll move to another auction, say 2 hours after we've done one. And we usually start as early as maybe 10 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do 10, 12, 2, and maybe at 4 o'clock.
Mike, how are you doing advertising these days? And has advertising changed since 2002?
Absolutely. That's one of the great successes with our program is our advertising campaign really generates interest. Really, 80% of how successful an auction is comes down to how well you advertise it and who you advertise to.
Mm-hmm.
And it has changed dramatically in the past 7 years. We actually maybe didn't do quite as much internet advertising 7 years ago, and now that's kind of the primary way to advertise. Now, we also do direct mail and newspaper still, but the numbers are just astronomical as far as how many people are coming from the internet.
So that that kind of response dominates the dollars spent?
I would say doesn't necessarily dominate the dollars spent. The hard cost of sending direct mail pieces and newspapers is actually more expensive than
sure.
the internet advertising that we can do. But, you know, we end up, you know, with spidering it out onto the web, we end up on, you know, 100-plus websites by the time the auction's there. So, I mean, you type in a Google search, Riverside Real Estate Auction, and, you know, it's not uncommon for us to be the top 10 results there.
Okay. Will there ever be a time where you say, okay, I don't think we need print media anymore?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think we'll come to that in the real near future. We've noticed the newspaper in bigger metropolitan areas doesn't work as well as the newspaper in more rural areas like Bakersfield.
Okay.
Newspaper seems to work pretty well here still. But, you move into Riverside, you move into L.A. especially, there's a lot more internet-savvy buyers out there.
From what source comes the highest qualified buyers? Have you tracked that where you say, okay, isn't that interesting?
The good old-fashioned sign in the front yard of the property is probably still the most effective way to advertise because I think a lot of times your buyer either owns properties on that street if they're an investor, or they come from a family member that lives down the road and sees the sign every day when they drive to and from work.
You know, that auction word on the sign, though, it certainly sticks out.
Absolutely. Plus, we definitely use an oversized sign compared to your standard sort of realtor sign that dangles out there. But, you're right. Auction, you put the word auction in front of a house, it's going to pique a lot more interest. People are going to actually stop and maybe look versus just drive on by.
How many open houses will you have?
We usually do two open houses about a week, the weekend prior to the auction.
Okay. Now that, and for what type of length? How long?
Each one is normally 2 hours.
Okay. And what's the theory behind that? Because a lot of people would think, wow, that's just not a lot of exposure.
Well, the main theory is to create the sense of urgency.
Okay.
If you want to get in on this great opportunity to buy this house, you got to be here during these specific times. You're almost prepping their mind for the auction coming up because the house is going to be sold at this time and this date. So if you want to see it, you got to come on these times and these dates rather than make it just available. We don't do lock boxes or anything like that, and we just feel like making it over-available takes away that sense of urgency and that excitement.
Is it important that when someone goes to an open house, there's company there? In other words, they have other people that they're looking at?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they get the idea that maybe they're doing the right thing as well?
Yes.
Okay. When people call on an auction ad, what is your main objective with that initial conversation?
The initial conversation would be to get them excited about the auction.
Okay.
Show them how simple it is to bid. It's not a complex process. It's probably easier than buying a house the traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, show up on the day of the auction, bring your cashier's check if you want to be a bidder for the specified amount, and then bid it up as high as you can go. And we always recommend they get pre-qualified prior to the auction, but it's not a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Recommend, find out how high you can go at the auction. But our main goal is to get them to come to that open house and fall in love with the property.
Okay.
From there, we convert them into the auction.
Okay. How easy would it be to lose people at that first phone call step? You know, I wonder if most of the people are calling almost to find a reason not to follow through.
Yeah. I think that's 100% accurate. I, I would say that it is that first call is probably the most critical call, or that first email you get.
And is that something that one of you two always handle?
I will handle buyer calls, but we actually have our trained professional in the office that will handle pretty much most of the buyer calls. I deal generally with sellers and the website advertising now. But she is excellent and converts our buyers into bidders very easily.
Okay.
She's been doing it plenty long now.
Okay, that's great. Most people would assume an auction would be held on the weekend, and June 3rd is the Wednesday. So I guess you guys have not found any detriment, obviously, to a midweek auction.
No. We've tried auctions on every day but Monday and Sunday. We've done an auction. Sunday, just our whole thought was the whole religious aspect of that day, and we didn't want to kind of step on anyone's toes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monday, everyone's kind of getting going on the week, so we haven't gone there. I have attended real estate auctions on a Monday that have been very successful. But it really doesn't matter. We've had record-breaking crowds on a Wednesday afternoon at lunchtime. A lot of times, sometimes even more than on a Saturday. People are kind of in relaxation mode on a Saturday sometimes.
Okay.
But it can be done either way.
Okay. Randy, what would be the safe number of bidders where you feel, okay, we're going to have a successful auction?
We've had good auctions with as little as three bidders, believe it or not, where it went crazy. You got to have the two right
bidders. You have to
have
two right bidders, that's right.
That's key, you know. And we've had as many as 76 bidders in Arcadia at a single-family house. And
76 bidders?
When we get too many bidders, we worry about it going too high. I know that sounds crazy and everything, but it just goes crazy. And we do better as far as getting them closed when there's more like 5 to 10.
You know, that brings up a point of appraisals. I'm just curious, has that become any type of a problem?
It was a problem. On one of the houses that we sold the last go-around in, late January? In fact, it was our preferred lender, Wells Fargo, on a house that we owned that we were selling. The price at the auction was 92, and they appraised it at 80,000.
Wow.
No matter what we did, I mean, we showed them every comp, you know, it should go to 92, it should go, and they said, no way. So we just held our ground, and the buyer ended up paying the difference.
Good for you. You know, that's, it's interesting. We have probably 16, maybe 14 escrows right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the first two of them came out, the appraisals were going to be a challenge. And since then, and I don't know exactly how many, but the appraisals have come in. So the jury's still out, but for some reason, I've been pleasantly surprised in the last week. But we had a week there where every appraisal I heard of was almost 20% wrong.
Wow.
And I just thought, holy mackerel, if this continues, we're in the buy and hold world.
Yeah.
That's all they're going to let happen. Getting back to the auction, Mike, when you start the auction, you usually auction off something for charity. What's the theory behind doing that?
Well, you know, a lot of people are kind of shell-shocked. I personally have been a bidder for buying a personal residence for myself and my wife, and the anticipation and anxiety, even being in the auction business for so long, is still there as a buyer. Mm-hmm. And if an auctioneer can get up there, joke around a little bit, calm everyone down, do a charity auction for something small like an MP3 player or whatever, some small radio or something, and donate all the proceeds to that charity, it can show the bidders that may not have attended an auction in the past what an auction really is like.
Mm-hmm.
And it relaxes them, and that gets them in the bidding spirit. It gets them used to holding their cards up. And then, you know, you talk about the property, and then you sell it.
It's kind of a lot like a trial close.
Right. It's an icebreaker is really what the main reason is. And obviously, it's nice to donate some money to charity.
Sure. After the winning bid, there's the concept of a buyer's premium. Probably in the 90s, I don't think I ever heard it connected to real estate, and now it's pretty prevalent.
Yeah.
So how do you explain that? And after the auction, has there been times where people went, oh, man, I forgot?
Oh, yeah. I would say 50% of the time people forget about that buyer's premium.
No matter what you do to explain it?
No matter. We disclose it in all the written terms. it's disclosed and an example is given before every single auction that we do just to make sure they understand if they didn't happen to read the terms. And it's, people still get caught up. And going back to that auction that I purchased for myself and my wife, I forgot about the buyer's premium when I was bidding. And my dad looked at me after the auction and said, "You forgot about the buyer's premium, didn't you?" Because I had a number I was sticking to, and I went right through it. I still got a good deal on the house, but it, I go, you know, that's funny, because you always wonder what people are thinking during the auction. You're not thinking about the buyer's premium, even though it was already disclosed. You're thinking about winning that property if you fall in love with it.
That is funny. Of course, it, you know, since it's something you're personally interested in, you probably have your wife looking at you going, "Honey, I really want that."
Yeah. Yeah, you know, what's another 5-10%, you know.
Yeah, for a happy wife. Right. Yeah, I have been there. I know that one. Okay. How often does buyer's remorse set in, and what are the telltale signs where, uh-oh?
You know, you can almost tell when you sit down to sign the purchase agreement, right immediately following the auction, if somebody may give you some trouble.
Okay.
You know, just that look on their face of a deer in headlights, the excitement's worn off.
Well, it didn't take long either.
No. I mean, it can happen
a couple minutes
instantaneously once their cashier's check is in our hands right after we say sold. I mean, instantaneously I've seen it happen. What our goal as an auction company after that person buys a house is to make them feel comfortable about their purchase, because a lot of times it is their first auction purchase. And they need somebody to hold their hand, and that's something that these very large auction houses can't really do. You know, they've got escrow companies contracted out. We are with the buyer all the way through. We don't represent them. We represent the seller, but we are there to answer their questions. They can call our office at any time and actually talk to me, the guy that sold them the house, rather than some escrow department or a closing department of some sort.
Right. How important is getting a pretty healthy deposit to the success of the closing of a property?
It's absolutely key, finding that right amount, actually. In this market, you can't come out and say, "Well, we need $15,000 in order for you to bid."
Because you just won't get a bidder.
You knock out all those first-time home buyers, and those are great buyers right now. They really are, and they've got such creative financing options with the FHA right now, as you were talking about. You know, they're coming out of the woodwork, you know, these people that have been renting for years, and they can get that deal and afford the house now. So, you know, on like a single-family house in Bakersfield, we might ask them for $5,000 as the deposit.
Yeah.
But it's enough to make an impact if they decide not to close, because they lose that 100%.
And that's interesting, because that isn't really true in normal real estate sales.
No.
I've never kept a deposit in any transaction other than one of your auctions.
Right.
So it's very uncommon, and I'm sure that there's, even though somebody thinks it's a mistake to save the $5,000, I bet you 80% of those people close anyway.
Right. Well, we close 95% of our escrows first time through because of that. You just weed out the looky-loo type buyer, the buyer that's still looking. They don't necessarily like the house they bought, and they're going to look for that next couple weeks and find something better and then back out of the deal. You kind of weed that person out by keeping their deposit money if they back out.
Randy, we've got a little bit more than a minute. Describe the perfect seller to have as your auction client.
I think the perfect seller is the seller that we had at the Riverside auction, the wholesale property.
I'm glad you brought that up. And we're going to talk a lot about that right in the beginning of the next week's segment. So,
yeah.
But what was his situation? Why did that work so well?
He had very reasonable price expectations. Number one, he bought right. He bought at the right price in order to flip. And he basically was willing to put up the marketing cost with the idea that we were going to get those back and then a lot more. And that's your ideal seller.
Okay. What would be the number to reach Elite Auction? Is it the 661-325-6500?
Yes, that's the best one.
And what's your website?
The website is sellwithauction.com.
Okay. Guy, thanks for joining us, and we'll continue this in our next segment.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay. You bet.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.